This morning, I want to just jump right into our passage of Scripture. So if you brought your Bible, go ahead and open it to Jeremiah chapter 18. If you are one who likes to use the Bible in the pews, then I'm going to ask that you open your Bible there, the Bible provided in the pews, and turn to page 631. 631. Now, for our worshipers at home, as well as those in person who need larger font, the Scripture will be provided for you on the screen when we begin to look at them. Again, Jeremiah chapter 18, if you brought your Bible, we're going to go from verses 1 through 10. And if you're wanting to use the Bible provided in the pew, it will be an NIV version. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible, but I will prompt you when I go from verse to verse. But you can turn to page 631 in the Bible provided in the pew, and you can join along with me and as we go through these passages of Scriptures. And again, for those of you at home, these Scriptures will be provided for you in the Common English translation. Join me in verse 1 where it says, Jeremiah received the Lord's word, go down to the potter's house, and I will give you instructions about what to do there. Verse 3 says, so I, meaning Jeremiah, went down to the potter's house. He was working on the potter's wheel. But the piece he was making was flawed while still in his hands. So the potter started on another, as seemed best to him. Verse 5 says, then the Lord's word came to me, meaning Jeremiah, saying, house of Israel, can't I deal with you like this potter, declares the Lord. Like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in mine, house of Israel. At any time I may announce that I will dig up, pull down, and destroy a nation or a kingdom. But if that nation I warn turns from its evil, then I'll relent and not carry out the harm I intended for it. At the same time, I may announce that I will build and plant a nation or a kingdom, but if that nation displeases and disobeys me, then I'll relent and not carry out the good I intended for it. It is our tradition here to conclude each reading saying, this is the word of God for the people of God, and all respond saying, thanks be to God. Will you join with me, please, in a prayer? Lord, as we come this morning to look at your word, it's an opportunity today for us to yet again grow, not only in our head knowledge, but in our heart knowledge of your character, of your love, of your goodness. So help us, Lord, to remove all prior understandings that we've heard about this text, and let us receive it afresh and new today through the power of your Holy Spirit. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, for those of you who are worshipers with us at home, I don't know if you've ever had the pleasure of coming up here to Eureka Springs or to Harrison or just pass through maybe on your way to Branson, but we have just a plethora of opportunities for people to explore. We are very resourceful, if you will, and things that most people don't even realize. Like on the altar this morning, I have a set of pottery here that I bought from a little place called Osage Clay Works, and it's a little town called Osage, Arkansas, off of 412. So if you were to come to from somewhere down 65, and you were going over to watch the Hogs play, and you would hit 412, you would pass right by this little community called Osage. And listen, I'll spare you the history lesson about the old building being the Stamps Building, being nearly 90 years old in business, blah 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 blah. The point of the matter is that this place is a place that makes pottery that is very beautiful. I bought a collection of pieces and turned them into a communion set for us here at Green Forest. And I highlight this because making pottery is a unique and artful experience. It is the ability of a person to take an ugly patch of mud, something shapeless and gooey, and turn it into something beautiful and useful. Within the practice are metaphorical symmetries, if you will, to relationships as well as life. For the prophet Jeremiah, this was his experience watching the potter where God gave him a sermon, if you will. Now, it wasn't with words or in a vision like most prophets, nor was it done through audition. No, God used an everyday, mundane illustration that was a frequent encounter for people of that time. You see, pottery was an essential tool of the day. People used them to store flour and wheat. They used them to transport water to and from. Every utensil that was used for eating and drinking were predominantly pieces of pottery. So the daily usage and unexpected breakage would eventually create demand for new pieces that required almost every household, at least a person from that household, to make a regular trip to the potter's house. So God directs Jeremiah to go to the potter's house. And there, when he was there, is when the word of the Lord would come to him. And while this reading may lack luster for us today, to Jeremiah, my brothers and sisters, the encounter revealed a revelation that is one worth revisiting, I believe, for Christians of today. Now, what Jeremiah received on this day was a revelation regarding the sovereignty of God. To simplify what the scriptures are depicting could be done by stating the obvious, that there are no limits to God. If something begins to become misshaped, God will simply reshape it. This is very plainly detailed within the text that we just read. As the potter works on the wheel, scripture says, shaping the clay, the piece became flawed while still in his hands. And it was there that the potter continued the work by simply repurposing the clay to flawlessly become what he desired. Jeremiah learns that God sees the chosen people of Israel and Judah as flawed vessels due to their own unrighteousness. But the unrighteousness was not something that would cause them to be cast away. Rather, God, as the potter in the story, would simply refashion them into another vessel as seemed good to the Lord. Now, as I'm sure any potter will tell you, that while they are the ones shaping and molding the clay into something very useful and beautiful, the clay also has to participate within the creation. Likewise, God speaks to the participation of the people of Judah and Israel in the reading. In addition to taking the initiative in their human affairs, God says that he will respond accordingly to their human actions. Another important aspect, at least for me, that I believe is detailed in this passage is the imagery of pottery that is implied but not necessarily stated. That is how patient the man or woman who is making the pottery has to be. Symbolizes how patient God is with us when working with his people. The few people that I have ever visited with that were proficient in pottery have spoken about the throwing of a piece of art. This word, a throwing, is used to define the entire activity of shaping the clay on the potter's wheel. There is an intentional and delicate balance between the force of pressure and the kinetic feel of the positioning of one's hands. But before this work begins, the potter has to have a vision of what she is wanting the clay to become. When or if the shaping process is hampered or flawed, the potter simply restarts the process. What isn't shared as a visual lesson for Jeremiah, but reflected in the words attributed to God, is how at times a vessel must be broken into pieces so that it can become a reusable, malleable piece of clay. Now remember, in his day, we didn't have kilns or anything like that that used for the drying aspect, which nowadays clay, if it's been through that, are not able to be reused. But in his day, they were. And we see this truth from the list of action verbs shared in our reading that speak about God's breaking of Israel and Judah. In my text, it said, dig up, pull down, destroy. If you read the NIV, as I read out of the Common English, it used words like pluck up, break down, and destroy. And listen, I know how scary those words sound. It sounds as if God is prepared to pass judgment and destruction. But in the metaphor of a potter, this isn't about destruction unto oblivion. Rather, it's about a reworking, a repurposing, and or a recreating. The people's response to these actions simply determine, meaning Israel and Judah, their response simply determines how God is going to respond with the reshaping. If the clay needs to be resourced with more sand to create character and texture and consistency that is desired, then he'll add that sand. If more water is needed to make it more malleable and less friction, he'll add the water. If the process of kneading, that's where they push and pop and work the clay to get all the air bubbles and other impurities out, then that will be applied. And then once the piece is completed, it'll be removed and dried so it can be cured in hopes that there are no cracks and it retains its original shape. And when that doesn't happen, then God simply uses a flawed piece of clay through the reshaping of our life, to the events of our life, the trials that we experience, the circumstances that we have to go through, to reshape and cure something beautiful and useful within us for God's kingdom and His purpose. Now look, I know that this is a very simplistic message, but for Jeremiah, this was the revelation that he received. No doubt the people of Israel and Judah did not heed the prophet's warnings, and exile and destruction of the temple is what they experienced. But even in the most treacherous of times, God continued to promise restoration and salvation. Let me tell you why I think this passage of Scripture was so relevant for me today. Because I think it's finally appropriate for me to talk to you about the current state of the United Methodist Church. While many are staying and many are leaving for personal and biblical reasons, we need to remember that the sovereignty of God is still at work here and now. Our division and impending split will impact every single local church within the connection of Methodism. No one, hear me, no one will be void of it. Green Forest, you cannot escape the fallout that's coming. In the same manner, our division and split will also impact the Protestant church all over the world because we are a global denomination. And what's going to happen is going to be a reshaping, a restructuring, a recreating that will take place in the churches under the umbrella of Protestantism. Now, I want you to hear me before I go any further. I am not implying this morning that those who are staying are wrong, and I'm also not implying that those who are leaving are in the wrong. I will say that our internal actions will cause the UMC as well as the Church Universal to begin a reshaping process that will create change, will demand hard decisions, and challenge each of us. Regardless of where you want to define yourself in this process, it will challenge each of us to do the hard work of bridging the gap between those who judge us, those who dismiss us, and those who no longer want to be associated with us. This truth will be applied on both sides equally. We're in this, continuing with our metaphor, in this reshaping process, God is going to break the old vessel to create something new. The breakage may create further division in the beginning, but eventually those pieces will be reused with new clay applied. And within this part of the process, there may be the need or demand for more sand to be applied to attain the grit and character that God desires for His church. Then the process will progress with God kneading that piece of raw clay to remove all the air bubbles and other particles that could create imperfections within the material. And once that we are placed back on God's potter's wheel, and God, through His grace, will apply a little water to help with the friction as He applies pressure in the reshaping of this new vessel. And if we present ourselves, and I'm talking about the church universal, but I'm going to go to talking to you. If we, Green Forest United Methodist Church, present ourselves as hard or intractable, God will gently and firmly use His hands to take us back to that stage where, while still on His potter's wheel, He will restart the process of shaping and sculpting with pressure, with sand, with a little water, whatever it takes to make that vessel, when it's removed off the wheel, before it's ever cured, to look as He desires. And once again, we are going to have to relearn how to become comfortable with the pressure that God is going to apply while crafting this new vessel. But the forming of the vessel isn't the end. The next step will be a season where we are heated, where we are cured, we are baptized by fire, so that we'll be sure to hold our shape and continue to be a useful vessel for the Lord. Now here's the good news. No matter what decision you make, no matter how one chooses to serve God in the variety of options called Protestantism, God's sovereignty will continue to be the hands that shape the church with a capital C. It will never be done solely for the people, by the people. It will never be done absent of God's instruction or design. This is the revelation this Old Testament prophet received through his experience, his encounter. It's a revelation he tried to educate his people about of his day. It's a lesson and a revelation that we need to grasp a hold of as we move in and through this new time within the church. You're going to have a lot of opportunities to hear from friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, family members. We're going to have a very passionate opinion, one way or another. And it's your prerogative to agree or disagree. But if we lose sight that it's God who's shaping the church, and we think it's all up to us and about what our will is and what our desires are and what we're going to do, then friends, you've already began to lose sight of who you are as a follower of Jesus Christ and lose sight of what Scripture teaches us about the sovereignty of God. You went from worshiping and following to the sin of idolatry because you've made yourself God and thinking that what your will is and your desires are better. And trusting the God who shapes us, who molds us, who makes us, who allows us to become all that He wants us to be for His kingdom and His glory. Now look, I could elaborate on this a whole lot more. Some of you will have questions because you're not 100% even sure what I'm even talking about. Others of you have been so steeped into this social media hawk that you don't know truth from fiction. Let me just close this sermon up in a way that I hope can unite us in our focus and vision together. It's an old sermon illustration about a water barrier in India who had two large pots that hung on each end of a pole that he carried around his neck. The story says that one pot was cracked. while the other pot was perfect. And each day when he would walk to wherever it is he had to get his water, the cracked pot would leak. And the perfect pot would hold the full volume of what was needed to be carried back to the home. Story says that the perfect pot was proud of its accomplishments, perfect to the end for which it was made. But the poor cracked pot was ashamed of its own imperfection, and miserable that it wasn't able to accomplish but only half of its intended purpose. Story transitions about this being a 2-year process that this water barrier allowed the cracked pot to remain. The cracked pot eventually looked at the water barrier and said, "I'm ashamed of myself and I want to apologize to you." And the water bearer asked, "Why? What are you ashamed of?" And the pot responded, saying, I have been able for these past 2 years to deliver only half my load because my crack in my side causes water to leak out all the way back to your house. And because of my flaws, you have to do all of this work and you don't get full value for your efforts." In the spirit of compassion, the water bearer looked at the cracked pot and told him, "As we return, I want you to pay attention as we journey back through our regular path. And I want you to look at your side of the road, and I want to look at the other side of the road." And as he walked back, he began to notice that on the other side of the road where the perfect pot was, there was nothing but dirt. But on his side was beautiful flowers and grass. The greenery of creation that expresses just a glimpse of the beauty of our God. Again, this pot apologizes to the water barrier for his failures. And he asked him, he said, "Did you not notice these flowers on your side, but not on the other? Did you not notice all that had changed because of your cracks?" And he said, "Because of your cracks, every afternoon I'm able to go out on my trail that we journey together, and I'm able to pick beautiful flowers for my wife and put them on her table to not only share in beauty and find the home, but more importantly, express my love to her." Story ends saying that the water barrier said to the cracked pot, "Without you being just the way you are, I would not have this beauty to grace my home." Now, I love this story. I love it because it reminds me that no matter how screwed up I am, God can still use me. Even when I'm in the process of needing being repurposed, restructured, reshaped, God is not wanting to discard me and throw me away because I'm no longer useful. But he uses me in that moment, all the way up to the reshaping process takes part. We need to remember that no matter how broken the United Methodist Church might be, God's grace will still work through our brokenness to create the beauty that he desires. Just as sure as the hounds of hell are not going to stop harassing us, neither is God's Spirit going to stop trying to sanctify us through the process of reshaping, restructuring, and repurposing us so that we can become all that God desires. And I pray, friends, that you will never forget this important aspect of the sovereignty of God. Because no matter what happens anywhere else, when it comes to the church, the hands of God are never removed. And no matter what we had, and whatever we experience, or wherever you decide to go in your future, God's going to be a part of that process. And there will come another time in your life, in the life of this church, that God will need to break the vessel so it can be repurposed and reshaped, so it can become holistic for its purposes of being used for the kingdom and the glory of God. It's not just a one-time cycle. It's a repetitive cycle. For those of us in the 12-step program, we call it a moral inventory, right? We do it over and over and over so that we can learn what obsessive compulsive behaviors drive and motivate our need to embrace our addiction. A biblical concept that I find so funny that people who struggle with addiction have a better concept of than most of your average Christians. I don't want us to be ignorant any longer of this truth. I want us to hold on to the hope and the promises of God's sovereignty, that as we move forward, His hands are going to continue to hold us, to shape us, and to mold us. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.